Hey out there, welcome to the Before Tacky podcast. For this episode, I would like to welcome back fashion designer extraordinaire Brett Johnson from Washington, D.C. How are you, Brett?
All is well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back. Okay, let's get started. Quick question here. The last time we spoke, it was all about streetwear, menswear fashion. Now it's gone to soft luxury. What do you think of the new trend?
I wouldn't call it so much a trend as it is like an embodiment of a certain lifestyle, right? So from my vantage point, my brand has always fit into this sort of soft, quiet luxury aesthetic. And when so much call it a trend, some people want to ride the wave, but I think a lot of people more so want to do and cater to what they're strong in. It really became a topic of conversation with the series Succession, but I wouldn't classify it as such. It's really more so what your brand is speaking to, who your final consumer is, and certainly their lifestyle and what they adhere to in terms of their social codes, their what they wear or collect. So I think it more so speaks to that sort of lifestyle
Right.
more so than a trend.
Okay, these days, what do you like about being a designer?
For me, I get an immense amount of joy just creating. Like I'm a creator, and for me, being able to transmit what's in my thoughts or my experiences, and being able to share that with the rest of the world, and how I convey it, the materials through colors. I think fashion is a great medium for me to express myself as a creative, and also in terms of storytelling. I think it's a great medium for storytelling, for creating an emotion and evoking an emotion inside of people, right? That's what brings me probably the most joy, is when people appreciate what I'm creating. That brings me really the ultimate satisfaction in terms of the work that I do. So that's what really brings me joy as a designer.
Okay, you just spoke about materials and fabrics. What is your favorite material and fabric, menswear? And the materials and fabrics do you use?
So we use everything from vicuña to 13.5 Yangir cashmere, or 13.5 micron Yangir cashmere, beautiful French linens, linen and silk combinations, mulberry silk, baby cashmere, 14.5 micron wools.
Ooh, it
So
feels nice just talking about it.
we use, I mean, what I consider the best of the best in terms of fabric in our segment. So for me, it always starts with this, because that to me is what's, I mean, the first interaction that a customer has with your product is that touch, that feel, that connection. So I think that is vitally important when creating a collection. It's that, and then the colors of the season, and whatever my inspiration is.
Okay, now talking about inspiration for that, what do you think a man should have in his wardrobe? What should be his signature piece?
Signature piece. I mean, I certainly think a man always needs a blazer. Blazer, nice pair of jeans, nice shirt, t-shirt, depending on your aesthetic. I think are pretty much wardrobe staples. The five pocket pant, that's very versatile. You can dress it up, dress it down with your blazer, with your tee. I think those are really the foundation to any man's wardrobe, and also obviously a nice pair of loafers.
Do you have a particular color for a blazer? Black, blue, gray?
For me, yeah, dark colors. So I would say either dark gray. We don't do black in the collection.
Right.
We're actually doing a capsule collection for one store that will be our only exclusive black wear. But yes, but I think, yeah, navy, dark gray, even a dark brown blazer is also a beautiful option.
Right. Okay, I got you. Now, let me ask you this then. For example, how do you define an elegant man, or how do you define elegance? Is it the clothes, or the way the person walks, the way the person carries themselves, the manners, for example, especially if they're wearing something so expensive? Because some people can wear something expensive and you're like,
right.
Well, maybe you need to try it.
Yes. So it's definitely in the persona of the person and the charisma, the character behind it. Right. Because you can get somebody in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt that carries himself, you know, in a more elegant way than a guy in a suit. So for me, I think it's really just like the embodiment of how you know, show yourself to the world and how you right. carry yourself, everything in which you do as a man. And I think that really speaks to the elegance. It's, you know, I always say, you know, sometimes the man makes the clothes.
Yeah, I agree. Right?
Versus very the clothes making, versus the clothes making a man.
Very, very true.
That's my vantage point on it.
And I agree, because sometimes I remember when I lived in London, I would see people decked out in every brand you can think of, and you're thinking.
Exactly.
Did they just rob Selfridges or something? Like, oh my God. Right. You wear your brand?
It can be quite quite a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, I was like, okay, what happened here? But you wear your own brand, right? Do you wear your own
clothes? I do.
Do you wear other brands also, or just your own?
Mainly my own. I mean, there are a few
endorsement.
There are a few pieces that I've had, you know, for ages. Uh-huh. You know, even before I launched my own brand that I'll still wear, but I definitely try and wear only Brett Johnson.
Really?
Yes.
Only like the sweat, I think you had a sweatshirt. I remember I saw the collection, for example.
Yes.
Quite elegant. I wouldn't take the Metro in that piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely some beautiful loungewear for home. And then when we're going out, a lot of our outerwear and knitwear pieces, I feel comfortable in. And not only comfortable, but you know, just the quality, the savoir faire, the making, and obviously the materials, going back to materials, are just absolutely stunning from my vantage point.
No, I agree. But like I said before, I'm not taking a Metro with that on. Not even an Uber. Talking about material. Okay, you know, the sustainability. So we have to talk about sustainability in fashion. So tell me what your brand is doing as far as sustainability goes.
Yes. So we work with, it really starts with our suppliers and who we work with, because I think one of the major things when you talk about sustainability is, what are your suppliers doing?
Right.
And how they operate their company. So we have a standard with the brand is, you know, are they doing eco-friendly things? You know, water consumption, especially in the fashion industry, is a big talking point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, upcycling, you know, leftover wasted materials.
Right.
So first it's with our suppliers and, you know, water consumption, because I think that's the biggest talking point. You know, a lot of people get it misconstrued, because especially when you're talking about leather, for example, it's like, are you doing vegan leather right now? Mm-hmm. Right. And I always say no. And I think a lot of people are shocked by that response. And I say no, because our primary tannery, they don't do it because it's actually worse environmentally to create vegan leather, right? It takes more water, mm-hmm. more dye. So all these things attribute to, you know, worse or harsher environmental impacts on the world. And a lot of people don't understand that. You just think, oh, it's mushroom leather. It's some type of vegan leather. It must be better for the environment, when it actually is, you know, has a harsher impact on the world. So, for me, I think water consumption is certainly the first thing that I looked, or suppliers that we currently work with. Mm-hmm. What are they doing to reduce their carbon footprint?
Right. But all your stuff is made in Italy or France or somewhere. So, I mean, you guys have really stringent quality controls.
Yes. So, and I go to every supplier that we have. So I've been doing this ever since I started the brand. So I make sure all of our quality standards are there in terms of worker, you know, environment. And also, again, what are you guys doing in terms of your green standards?
Right. I have another question for you. I didn't. Okay. As a creative person, because as we know, fashion is going through a lot of turmoil right now. What do you mm-hmm. think of so many designers going in the machine and going out the other way? They're really burning out. It's gotten to the point of almost ridiculous.
Yeah.
As a creative person.
For me, I can understand it when you have to deliver, especially for the bigger brands, you have to deliver so many collections per year that it really becomes, you know, too much for a creative to continue to deliver on that sort of level and consistency. Because, I mean, these big brands are looking for hit after hit after hit of a collection to, you know, keep the audience entertained, to keep the press entertained. And I think it's really exhausting.
I see a little kid. I see a little kid.
Yes, this is my daughter.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Sorry.
No worries.
So I think for the bigger brands, it's more challenging. You know, you have resort, you have pre collections, pre resort, and when you start getting into all of that, it just becomes too much. And I think there's also too much waste when you have so many drops of collections. We just do two per year. So for me, I feel like I'm able to create in a more relaxed environment when we're just delivering two collections per year versus some of these guys getting completely burned out on, you know, six to eight collections per year.
Exactly. Do you think luxury has lost its luster, or do you think it's coming back, especially since your brand is luxury?
I don't think luxury will ever lose its luster. For me, if you keep your core principles in terms of output, production numbers, and paying attention to your quality and never skimping on the quality.
Right.
You know, some people will tell you, okay, if you want to make, you know, X amount, you need to take this t-shirt, produce, you know, 100,000 pieces, sell it cheaply, and this will, you know, help your brand, like, you know, survive, let's say. I think that is the worst decision that a brand can ever make. A lot of these bigger brands are also going a little bit more fast fashion.
Yeah, well, glorified Zaras is what I call them.
Right. And that's what makes the brand start to lose its luster, right? When you have, you know, control and you have your core values and principles and saying, I'm going to stick to, you know, what got me here, what I'm good at, Never compromise on your quality, on your product, and say, this is what I'm doing. Take it or leave it. Also, you can't be too concerned about, okay, if my price point isn't hitting this certain consumer, it's just not for that consumer.
No.
And this is right. So this is what my principles, my values in the brand that I conform to, right?
Right.
And that's just a decision that I've made. Mm-hmm. So I think when you look at it in its totality, it's really about your control over, you know, production output and your savoir faire, right? Making sure you keep that integrity of the product. And that, to me, is luxury.
Very good answer. Brett Johnson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, one more thing.
Yes.
I forgot one more thing here. Your collection, spring collection. Where can they buy? I know you're in Saks Fifth Avenue in the States.
Correct. Saks Fifth Avenue in the States. We're in a plethora of stores all throughout Europe.
Lovely.
From Joe Moretti in Milan to Jaume in Zurich, Stein, and St. Moritz. Please check out our stock. It's online at brettjohnson.co.
Thank you so much. Oh, and what's your key color this spring and for the fall?
So key color for this spring is, well, we have is this, I call it sky powder. So it's this beautiful muted blue color that you'll see. Right. Like almost what I'm wearing today.
Okay. What is it made of?
This is cotton and cashmere.
Oh, cotton and cashmere. Oh, all right. So we're envious. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brett.